following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. The Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth is going to have us on the road for the next 3 days. We've got State Cross Country coming up on Friday. That's at the Kearney Country Club. Our Loper Link will tie in with that a little bit as UNK is the host of that. Tomorrow we're in Grand Island, and today it is Husker Lunch Day. We are here at Cunningham's Journal, the loft and courtyard, and invite you down for Steve Sipple. He will be here at the end of the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll get a chance to talk to Sip from the Lincoln Journal Star. The big story, of course, the black shirts were handed out yesterday. Ooh, the black shirts. That just doesn't seem, it's just not as big a deal to me personally as it used to be. I think the guys still know that it is a very much big sign of respect for the football team, and so we'll talk about that. We'll recap the win against Northwestern. We'll talk about Rutgers. There's some folks that think Rutgers could pose a problem for the Huskers because they do have some offensive weapons. We'll talk about that. And, of course, the best part, Steve Sipple will answer all of your questions between 12 and 1 here today at Cunningham. So come on down anytime. As we said, even if you go to 30-minute lunch, if your lunch is 11:30 to 12:30, you need to get out. 12:30 to 1:30, you show up a little bit later into the chat. That's fine. We have had great crowds. We'll give you a chance to register for Nebraska-Minnesota football tickets that we draw out the Wednesday, the Husker lunch, before we head into the Minnesota game later next month. But it's Rutgers coming in, and we invite you to our Husker lunch. So Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, will be here. We'll catch up with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. Can you believe it? We are into the final week of the high school football regular season and a lot to be decided. So we will talk with Bob about that. And our Loper Link, the Chancellor, Doug Christensen, is here with us. We'll chat with him momentarily. Steve Stutzman's also going to slide in, and we're going to talk about some ticket packages with basketball right around the corner and how you can be a part of what's going on with the Lopers. But we start today with what we were hoping wouldn't happen, and that's a Royals loss last night and the way they lost in Game 1 of the World Series. I mean, the air got ripped out of the stadium in the top of the first inning. Royals fans tried to keep it going, but once they didn't score in the third, second and third, nobody out and couldn't push one across. Everybody kind of knew that Bumgarner took over from there, two hits through seven innings. Thankfully, Salvador Perez gets a home run to alleviate there being any problems with the shutout. But what I think you see is James Shields just didn't have it last night. Bumgarner did. If this thing goes deep, there's that possibility that you'd see Bumgarner pitch three games if this would go to a game seven. So can the Royals win the other four, I guess, is the big question. We'll find out tonight as Ventura goes for the Royals. Jake Peavy goes for the Giants. 7:07 first pitch here on ESPN Radio and the Breeze 94.5 FM. And want to throw this out for those that do have the question of this. Why can't you listen to Denny Matthews and Ryan Lefevre and the Royals radio crew? Well, It's called money. And ESPN has the rights to the World Series. So unless you are in Kansas City and listen to the affiliate in Kansas City, listen to the spot that originates the Royals broadcast, then you cannot pick that up. It is the ESPN broadcast. So that's why, and it's that way with all affiliates throughout the Royals radio network. And a guy that knows a little something about money is the chancellor at UNK, Doug Christensen. Our Loper Link brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at Charter West National Bank. You know, Doug, you got to have money, and sometimes it's unfortunate that money has to make decisions like that, like what you do at the university, like what we do in our everyday lives, from fundraising to taking care of facilities and to see what programs run and what don't. But that's the way of the world.
Well, it is, and of course, it's all about priorities. The station will you'll have priorities. The university's got priorities, and it's a deal where we'd love to have unlimited money and do whatever we want, but that'd be a pretty unrealistic world. And so, gosh, we can watch the World Series in our living room on HD and hear it. Now, can you imagine that? Isn't that great?
It wasn't that way the last time the Royals were in the World Series. No. We could watch it in our living room, but
no, I had those rabbit ears up on the top of the house. In between statics, I could get it.
Are you a Royals fan?
I like to watch the Royals, sure. I like baseball. I think baseball's a great sport. I much rather go to a stadium and watch a baseball game. But, you know, you can be doing other stuff around the house, listen to baseball, but during World Series, who doesn't have it on? I mean, I did last night.
Yeah, I would hope so for folks that are any kind of a sports fan. There's so much that's going on this week, but a chance to watch the Royals last night. Folks, if you have any questions for any of our guests, feel free to fire off to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Twitter address is at ESPN1460-1550. We talked a little bit about this on the show in the last week here, Doug. We'll start with the sports and go to some other things, but we're in that transition period where there's still a whole lot of fall sports left, but the winter sports are getting underway, and that keeps everybody extremely busy with what's going on campus, and that doesn't even count the academic side of things, the buildings that are going up, but you got basketball and wrestling and all the winter sports getting going, and the football team's won two in a row, and the volleyball team seems to maybe have played their best volleyball here the last couple of weeks.
It's really exciting to watch. You know, particularly the volleyball team being a very young team. You've got those freshmen. Can't wait to see what that's going to be like when they're sophomores and juniors. But why wait? Because we're right in the throes of it. I think Coach Squires has obviously done an excellent job this year. And we're there. We're in that region, the toughest region. And you'll see the national tournament again play out this year in the region. And so however that works, boy, I'd sure like to see us jump in there and sneak one out of that region. That'd be really, really sweet. But you're right. You walk over to health and sports right now, and you don't know which sports you're watching. You got wrestlers, you got cross country people, you got volleyball, basketball, and then there's some of these football guys out there as well.
Let me ask you a couple questions from a chancellor, head of the university point here, because here's one that I continue to bring up, whether it's to the athletic director, whether it was John or now Paul. You have some things in Division II that don't seem, and I guess for a lack of a better term, life's not fair, but they don't seem to be fair, and things that can be adjusted, like the regional in volleyball. There's a lot of things we could go down here. It's obvious that after 10 years, when six or eight of the top teams in the top 15 in the country are always in the same regional, something right. could be done about that. How much as a chancellor do you have a say in the big world of Division II about things like that, not specifically volleyball, but anything that has to do with that kind of a deal in sports?
Well, it goes to championships, and that's true of baseball where we play regionals. That's true of football, wherever. What chancellors and presidents look at are money issues, surprisingly enough, and they're saying that we want to keep these regionals so we don't travel all across the country and spend a lot more money. Students miss a lot more class time, and so there's a policy of having at least a geographically tight region. Now, when we moved the MIAA, that geographic region looked really good because we'd be with Texas and the Lone Star, and then they decided to go move the Northern Sun in with the MIAA, and our worst nightmare in volleyball happened is it just got worse instead of better. But we have the ability through championships to have some input, but here's what's going to happen. It is a democracy to a certain extent. So when, just as you see with the big conferences in Division I football, you've got seven other regions here saying, well, we really like that volleyball setup.
Yeah.
Because, it saves us money, and we get to play in our region, and we'll all have a big national tournament. Well, they're not interested in determining who the real national champion is. They're interested in their teams from their regions getting into the national tournament. And so we face a real uphill grind here of trying to get this thing straightened out. And it's all done by representation on committees through the NCAA. The presidents, of course, will meet, but I will tell you, most of them don't care about that. They're going to be more interested in keeping these regions fiscally sound and somewhat responsible.
Talk with the chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Doug Christensen, here on the Doug and Daddy Show as part of our Loper Link. In about 5 years, Doug, I'm sure this question will go away, but it gets asked of me numerous times.
Sure.
Next time you have Doug on, next time you have Paul on, ask him. And I think I know I've asked you this. So in the interest of public knowledge here, I will ask you this. It's not anymore, do you think it was a mistake to be in the MIAA? Because we've went over that.
Right.
Do you think, and going back to what you said with the volleyball, we thought we would be in one spot. Do you think that the picture was painted wrong for UNK when they joined the MIAA?
No, not at all. I think we knew full well what we were trying to do, and it's still true today. The reason we went into the MIAA is true today, and it's probably even more true. We did it for student-athlete welfare. So we're not sticking kids on a bus to Silver City, New Mexico for a 22-hour, one-way, nonstop bus ride. And we're doing that on a Thursday, when they leave on a Wednesday and they're coming home on Sunday and getting home at 7 or 8 in the morning, and they've been traveling all night. We're not traveling through the mountains of Colorado getting buses stuck on the passes. We're not loading our kids up and really going from what would be now central South Dakota to southern New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That is not an acceptable thing for us. Did it change the competitive nature? Sure. In some sports, it really changed it a lot, and others hardly at all. But the real reason wasn't for any other thing than to take care of student athletes. And so we know that we had some additional things we had to do. Football is what everybody looks at, but you got to look at all 17 or 19 sports that we do. We're still, I think, much better off from a student athlete welfare point of view.
Has UNK been treated fairly in the MIAA?
Most times.
Doug Christensen with us here, Chancellor.
Well,
it's
changed. It's changed. There's a lot of things, and it's true. If we'd have stayed in the RMAC, now we're playing Black Hills State too. They're starting to look again at Dixie. They're up in Montana, the Billings. But we really, when we came into the MIAA, what we looked at was UNO. Okay, a logical travel partner. They're our closest. They're very close to us. We talked to UNO and they said, we're fine. We're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything. Well, within, 4 or 5 months, we dropped football, we dropped wrestling, and we moved to Division I. Now, whether that's a good move or not, I don't care. That's not my decision. But that changed us a lot. Who else was a lot like us? Truman State. Well, now, 3 years later, 2 years later, Truman State's moved on because they couldn't compete. They didn't want to do that. And so those were two schools for us that were really important that has changed the landscape of the MIAA. So is it all a bed of roses? Of course not. But clearly from a travel perspective, we're in much better shape.
When we started this radio show, we knew we were a local radio show. More than talking Omaha, and you could talk about Trev Alberts, or in Lincoln, and you could talk about Bo Pelini, and of course Coach Callahan, and all things like that. So I'll ask you this, so that it's out there for public knowledge.
Yeah.
Because we're friends and acquaintances with a lot of people. We do more than work with them, so I always get a little edgy when I have to ask this question. But
sure.
How much does the chancellor, especially with still a fairly new athletic director, how much do you have a say in what's going on with the athletic department as far as coaches, changes, and not just coaching changes or the number of sports. I think we've got past the part of having to worry about cutting or adding sports, but you can comment on that if you want. Sure. But how much say do you have in head coaches, their staffs, in all the sports?
Oh, you know, clearly the chancellor could have total control. I mean, I could walk in and manage the operation and do that. That's pretty foolish.
Yeah.
We hire good people to manage units. It's the same thing is true in the English department, history. It's over in student affairs. It's in business and finance or admissions, international education. Could the chancellor walk in and sort of just micromanage every bit of that? Sure. But it's a pretty foolish thing to do. And so you hire good people. I'm supportive, but it's my job to represent the institution. It's my job when things go wrong with the NCAA. I'm the one signing off on scholarships. I'm signing off on eligibilities. And when things go wrong, they don't go to anybody else. They're coming to my desk, and they're going to my bosses and saying, you don't have institutional control. So the key is to have a handle on this, but you don't want to be doing micromanagement things. I mean, could you imagine? I know some presidents do it. I went on a visit. I've done a couple NCAA new president visits. And the new president will say, well, you know, we're going to win this weekend. Why? I told the football coach this weekend, we just got to win. Really? And he goes, well, in fact, it happened last week. He said, I went down into the locker room at halftime and said, we're behind. We just got to win. I said, you went in the locker room at halftime? I said, I'd be afraid to go into the locker room at halftime. And he said, no, I want them to know where I stand. I don't believe that's a good way to run the operation. And that, sure, I probably have an idea of what play we ought to run, but it's about as dumb idea as if I'd send it to Bo or anybody else. That's not my job. My job is to make sure this institution is a high-quality institution, that athletics has its place, but it's responsible. And at the end of the day, we want those students to graduate. So I need to spend more time on the quality of education, making sure they timely graduate, and we don't commit any rules and infractions. And those are the things that I'm day-to-day that I'm really interested in.
The cool thing about moving into the MIAA and Paul Plinsky here in his second year, as it is with some new blood, wherever the new blood may be, is that there's new, fresh ideas, new things are going on. We talked at the start of our interview with Doug Christensen, UNK Chancellor, about the university growing and people going, what's that building? What's that building? Yeah. What's that going to be? What are they doing there? Yeah. Man, just here in the last couple of years, I think since Foster Field was renovated, the things that have been going on here the last couple of years, it's everywhere, educationally and sports, and there's still more to come. And I know last time we had Paul Plinsky on, he couldn't delve and dive into everything. You got anything more for us?
Well, I would tell you this, that Paul has been very effective in terms of presenting a big plan. The trouble is, any one day at the university, there's lots of needs. We could walk out the door, this parking lot needs this, this building needs that, we need another faculty member here. We've got a lot of immediate needs. The key is, if you're going to run it effectively, you got to have a plan. You got to look long-term and say, okay, this goes in the direction we want it to go in. Here's a logical step to get there. Paul's been extremely effective in articulating it. I think it's the PhD in him that sits down. He writes this stuff out. He thinks about it. He's very, very logical in the way he thinks. And he's not irrational. I mean, he doesn't come in with his hair on fire. And so that's been really effective. So you'll see things like the different branding, the new painting in health and sports. If people haven't been in Health Sports Center, they ought to go see all the different things that have happened there and the presentation. And now we're changing coaches' locker rooms, and we're being able to put some money into a wide variety of aesthetic changes. But you're going to see, I think at the end of this school year, we're going to put chair backs into Health and Sports Center. That's probably what Paul's been nervous about, because he's waiting for Vice Chancellor Johnson and I to say it's okay, but we're going to do that. We'd probably do it earlier, but we don't want to disrupt the basketball season. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see, I think, greater fan comfort. The Health and Sports Center, you know, is getting a little older. So we've been doing locker room renovations and plumbing and ventilation and all those things. The fans don't see that, but the student athletes do. There's a wide list of things that need to be done. But we use health and sports for more than basketball and volleyball. That's lectures, commencements, student orientation.
State cross country Friday.
State speech meets. Yeah, you know, I mean, they all go there. And so you're going to see, I think, that get a safety upgrade as well as a comfort upgrade. And that'll be very, very good for the university.
You're always more than gracious with your time. And I know you are going to be hitting the road here this afternoon. And I always like to kind of leave it open when we have someone of your important stature joining us in person. No, what haven't we covered, Doug? What do the folks need to know? There are so many cool things going on outside of sports, but is it sports related or non-sports related? You're going to be out, and I know I saw Lucas start to make a post here the other day. You're actively recruiting students and student athletes to come on, because that's more than just coaches, but there's a whole lot of areas we could touch on. What else is on your plate right now?
Well, I tell you what's really on my plate, and you're going to see us help celebrate this the end of this week. We're going to be looking at the end of our capital campaign, the campaign for Nebraska, and this is going to be university-wide. We've got a big one on Friday night, Saturday night. We're going to be saying thank you to some of our contributors as well, but we had a $60 million goal on campus to raise money. Well, it's a $50 million goal, and we raised 60. I guess
it's an extra $10 million.
It's a lot. It's a lot, and it's great. But that's the generosity. Realize the last time we had a campaign on the University of Nebraska Kearney campus was probably in the mid to late 90s. We were just in the university. We had a $20 million goal. We didn't get there. We had to count the College of Education building with public funds, and that got us to 20, and we declared victory and went home. For us to go to $50 million, exceed that now up to $60 million in a short time, and to do it during the period of 2008, 2009, and 10, when the stock market was at its absolute worst, says a lot for this community. 99% of that money is restricted. It goes to certain scholarships, certain professorships, or went to certain building projects. Athletics benefited a lot from that, and you're going to see that over the years. I think last year alone we added $3 million to the endowment for athletic scholarships. We've never had an endowed scholarship fund. And so to go from zero to $3 million in 12 to 18 months, that's a big deal. We do that again here in the next few years, and that'll impact athletics. But everything we do is good for the university. And if it's good for the university, it's good for all facets of the university. So, yeah, we're blessed. We live in a community that's great. Kearney is a perfect place to be, and you'll see us do even more as we go along.
You know, this happens from time to time. A couple of emails came in.
What'd my mom say?
Are you a Raiders fan?
Yes.
See, he admitted it, John. And the second one comes from, who is the best golfer in the Christensen household?
Are we playing for money or not?
I love the commercial where the dad gets in the daughter's head. Oh, that's a pretty big pond there in front of that par three, and she sticks it anyway. Obviously, your daughter part of the Minden State Championship golf team, so congratulations. It's been a pretty big couple of weeks for your family, by the way. But
it has.
Did you want to answer who the best golfer was in the family right now?
I think right now with Paige with her foot in a boot, I could probably win today, but only because she's got her foot in a boot. You know, I'm not sure I want to play daughter Morgan. I think if she go dust off those clubs, she'd take me for a run too. So we'll leave it. I'm the best caddy in the house, and I'm a good loader of the bus, and I watch a lot of golf. But, yeah, it's great to do things with your daughters, and it makes you really proud. And for an old guy, it's a good thing to do.
Well, Doug, congratulations on the personal stuff, but even more so on what's going on at UNK. It's really cool.
Thanks.
We appreciate you coming in for us.
Well, we so appreciate what you guys do for us. You know, the exposure, just to talk about things going on at the university. There's so many negative things in the world, but there's a lot of positive things. And you can go up to our student athletes, and you see that day in and day out. They're good, decent kids who compete at a high level, but they're going to be really successful in society. Those are the kind of people I want to hire. Those are the people I want to be around. And so, yeah, we sometimes look at win and loss records, but what we really ought to look at is those student athletes, and that's the reason it's a great place.
Yeah, there's nothing in the blog. There's nothing in the blotter, for the most part, about what goes on in UNK. It's good stuff. Doug, thanks so
every
much.
Every day, thanks.
Thank you. Doug Christensen, the chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as part of our Loper Link, brought to you by Russ Smith at Charterwest National Bank Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VARD, and conventional home loans. And for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at Charterwest National Bank. Also want to remind you that there are plenty of other sports stories going on with the Lopers, the football football team will be at ninth-ranked Pittsburgh State. We talked with Coach Morris about that yesterday, coming off their second straight win, beating Lindenwood, the 100th career win for Coach Morris. The volleyball team has moved up to sixth in the country. They will be at home Friday and Saturday night. Erin Seeley is the MIAA Specialist of the Week. She is the Loper Setter. She's done that again. The UNK cross-country teams were at the Fort Hays State Open over the weekend, and with the competition that they had there, third for the men and 11th for the women, more MIAA awards there in cross-country, because Brian Hill for the men and Morgan Benish for the women are the conference cross-country athletes of the week. When it comes to soccer, the Loper women will head to Emporia State in Washburn this weekend. They're coming off a 1-0 victory at home against Northwest Missouri State on Sunday. In golf, the men's season has wrapped up. The women's season, yeah, they finished fifth out of 13 teams at the Lindenwood Fall Invitational that wrapped up yesterday. And Anna Summers had her career low yesterday with a 73, finishes tied for fifth overall in the tournament. The teams will tee it up again coming up in March. And I believe that's covered everything that we have to cover. We're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up with tickets for the Lopers. We've got Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star. We are here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. Sip will be here from 12 to 1 and answering all your Husker questions. Chance to win Nebraska-Minnesota tickets and get registered and a whole lot more. We'll be back with more on today's Doug and Daddy Show in a moment.
It's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Winds pick up just a bit, possibility for some rain and some thunder showers today and tonight from the Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by Weatherology.com. I'm meteorologist Steve Wollenhouse. Right now, 63.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where it's time to take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Which current NFC division leader is most likely to fall off and miss the playoffs? And you look at the teams that are leading in the NFC, including our Dallas Cowboys, Dallas, Detroit, Carolina, Arizona. What a wild postseason that would be. But this was a very close vote, but Arizona is who you voted as the most likely to fall off, maybe because it's in Seattle and San Francisco's division. Today, which 500 or better AFC team is that's not in the playoffs now has the best chance of making it, because the top teams in the AFC seem to be much more solid with because they were talking about that yesterday as well, with five of the spots maybe already kind of locked up when you're talking about New England, you're talking about Denver, you're talking about everything that's going on. Let me pull these standings up with the records that you have right there for the AFC. You've got New England at 5-2, Baltimore at 5-2, Indianapolis at 5-2, Denver at 5-1, and then you got San Diego. And so everybody else is kind of fighting for one spot right now. Will it be Buffalo, Cleveland, Kansas City, Miami, or Pittsburgh? I want to pick Kansas City, but if San Diego and Denver continue to do what they do, they've got to face Kansas City. Pittsburgh, I don't know. That's tradition. They shouldn't have won on Monday night. They did. So does this catapult them into a great next 5-6 games? Cleveland, I'm sorry. I can't buy you. Miami, I liked Miami at the beginning of the year. I'll go with Miami. But really, you can vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Bottom line is, who cares? Dallas Cowboys all the way. Mike from Cunningham's, who will you also admit being a Dallas Cowboys fan?
Yes. Yeah, this year I certainly will. I thought it was going to be a little grave, but right now it's sitting pretty.
We've had some pain the last few years. And you know, I guess, is the best part Dallas is winning, or is the best part that everybody can't give us grief here the first 2 months?
It's been a lot easier on the ears this year, so they haven't been nearly as tough on us, have they, Doug?
No, and again, it's going to be even harder for me to acquire the Dallas Cowboys Miller Lite sign that you have here at Cunningham's if they do win the Super Bowl.
It's true. I thought maybe we were going to have a little trouble with that this year, but I'm thinking and we should add some flames or something to it now.
Let's do what we can. Anytime you come into Cunningham's, 7 days a week, you can enjoy great food, whether it's right off the get-go at 11 a.m. or late in the evening. They're there for you. Always got entertainment. Always got the football games on. You guys are keeping busy. And, of course, lunch specials today with the wings. You got music on Wednesday nights. The weather has changed a little bit with the courtyard, but you guys keep busy on the weekends. Tell us what's coming up this week.
This week, of course, we got that house band every Wednesday tonight. And then, of course, Friday and Saturday, we got Pie in the Sky, a great Iowa band. A lot of fun. They do a little bit of some rock and hip-hop mixture. And so it should be kind of a good party. And hopefully we bring home a win against Rutgers. And everybody can just keep celebrating on Saturday.
That's the best part about the early games. Everybody wants to come into Cunningham's, enjoy the game, and then we've got the entertainment throughout the night. For those that still have the willpower to go 11 to 11, it's a great day, isn't it?
That's right. I know I can't hang anymore, but I'm sure there's somebody out there that can.
We've talked about the expanded menu here. You guys continue, and you take pride in what you put on there. It's not just so-called, quote, bar food.
That's right. We try and have a pretty quality product. We have a little bit of specialty burgers, some different stuff like the Juicy Lucy, so, or bacon wrapped shrimp, some stuff you can't really get other places.
I don't know why I brought you on in this segment. We should have saved you for the very end because now I'm all ready to eat lunch. What else do we have going on here at Cunningham's as we head into the winter portion of the season? NBA tips off next Tuesday, and we won't be able to keep Yusuf down here.
I know, especially with Kobe being back, the Lakers. He'll be watching all sorts of basketball here pretty soon. But, you know, also, Doug, we got to start November 6th. We're bringing back Comedy Night. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to have two shows, 7:30 and 10:30, every Thursday night up in the loft. So, and I don't know if you remember years ago we used to do that, but we're bringing it back. So just in case, you know, anybody out there, a little comic.
This is real comedy. This isn't the stuff we do on the radio.
No, these are traveling guys you'll hear on Bob and Tom Show and Comedy Central and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to be starting that up real soon here in a couple weeks, November 6th.
Circle it on your calendar, folks. Two shows Thursday nights. Always something going on here at Cunningham's. And Husker Lunch today, someone will win a Cunningham's gift card. And with your lunch purchase, you'll get signed up for the Nebraska-Minnesota tickets. And you can also register for those during NFL Sundays.
That's right. And we got to give those away real soon. That game's going to be right around the corner. So get down here and register.
All right, go back to work.
I'm going to try.
Thanks, Mike.
Doug. I appreciate it.
Mike from Cunningham's, always gracious and always love coming down and seeing the guys here at Cunningham's. They keep busy, and we hope you'll come down and join us for our Husker Lunch today as we get ready to talk a little high school football.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report joins us here. I'm at Cunningham's. Bob is not at Cunningham's, and I know he's sad about that because he would love to have some lunch and join us today. Bob, you need to visit us at Cunningham's.
I do. You know, and maybe get there early and warm up. Take this whole thing to another dimension.
Are you sad about the Royals, or do you care?
No, I'm sad about the Royals. I'm like everybody else that's a sports fan. I got a regional stake in this deal. I won't claim to be the biggest Royals fan, but I'm like everybody every red-blooded American. I love an underdog, and you love somebody new. And there are. I mean, it's a real likable team. There's, you know, and the way they've been winning. I don't know. I think there's a well. There's obviously a lot to like, and I don't just shake off last night. Last night was a bad deal, but it's only one game.
We're talking with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and let's go ahead and talk about what happened last week. There were a couple of record-breaking performances out there. Bob, I'll start locally. There was a bigger one in the Metro. We had Norfolk Catholic Pierce. There were some really cool things that happened in Week 8, but I sat here and said I didn't think one man could beat St. Cecilia because that's just not the way it works. I wanted to pick Sutton. I didn't pick Sutton. I regret it today because you can say one man, and a great story, a great interview on Huskerland Prep with Noah Johnson of Sutton, but 57 carries, A, sometimes you don't get that many plays in a game, but B, this young man did it, and they beat St. Cecilia in what could be a preview with the new playoff system of a state final.
Yeah, it could. I mean, here's the deal. I think everybody still agrees that Hastings St. Cecilia is a really good football team, and I got to see a lot of the second half of that game firsthand. And what that Johnson kid did was just amazing. It wasn't just him. You know, I talked to Coach Raymer about this, and you know, they came in with a plan, and they were going to stick to it. And that plan apparently was to try and kill Noah Johnson, because 57 carries. If you didn't hit anything, would wear a kid out. But 57 carries against that defense, and that's really not even the biggest deal, dude. The last, you know, St. Cecilia finally gets a lead. They get a lead 23-22, kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. Adrenaline is sky high. Sutton gets the ball at their own 20 with 5 minutes to go. And 14 times in a row, Noah Johnson got the ball, running off a left tackle, running behind 75 and 78. Garrett Stone, Garrett Clark, Jared Lemkow's in there, a senior leader. You know it's coming. I mean, St. Cecilia practically had its defense in an I formation over the top of that hole and just couldn't stop it. The thing that was kind of cute was they let Noah beat his brains in, 14 plays, get it down to the one, and they let the quarterback score on a sneak. That was nice. But
it's not fair. Yeah, at least I didn't have Noah Johnson in my fantasy football pool. On the other side of things, you had a passing performance down in the Metro.
Yeah, and the thing is, Jaden Kowalski's got family ties to the Kearney community, and 599 yards that kid passed for. Now, you got to mention it was in a losing effort. Bellevue Westdale has a little trouble figuring out how to play defense, but 599 yards. I've seen that kid play twice already this year. Big, good-looking kid, 6'4", 195, 200 pounds. Really, you know, he's pretty fearless throwing the ball. He's not one of those kids, even as a junior in high school, who waits for somebody to get open. He anticipates that they'll be open. And he's got a great receiver, this C.J. Johnson, that's going to go to Wyoming on scholarship. He should be at Nebraska. That's another story. And he just banks on those people being there. Having said all that, he's thrown all those passes. He's thrown for something like 2,600 yards, thrown 7 picks. So, yeah, that was a fantastic set of records, both of them. They're obviously, diametrically different, but great, great records.
Talk with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, as we do every Wednesday here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The biggest game, we talked maybe that St. Cecilia Sutton could be between two of the final four teams there in C2. Well, definitely Norfolk Catholic at Boone Central Newman Grove has everything that you would want coming up this week.
Well, they do. And, you know, the thing is, Norfolk Catholic, as much as anything, has got Jeff Beller. That is not to diminish Arnie Johnson at all. He's going to be a Hall of Fame coach on his own. But Jeff Beller, over 300, well, he's still a young guy. I mean, I think he's something like 54 years old, 55 maybe. Over 300 wins, 9 state championships. And they've got their best player is this kid that's a junior named David Engelhaupt. He's a big kid, like 6'3", 200 pounds, to play him at running back. But really, to a large degree, Norfolk Catholic's kind of a faceless team. It's just a bunch of really good players who are exceptionally well-coached that don't know any different than to keep winning. On the other hand, Boone's got a lot of good players. They also have the best high school player, the player that you would want if you were going to start a high school team in Nebraska, and that's Wyatt Mazur, the quarterback. You know, when he plays a whole game and when they turn him loose, he's almost an automatic 400 yards of offense. He doesn't look like a passer. I interviewed him last week and we talked about that. He's 5'9" and a thick 190 pounds. It looks like more than that, but the kid is an excellent. He's an excellent passer. He's very accurate. He's got these big, rangy receivers. Boone seems to have the corner on 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", wide receivers, and he can run. And I don't know. I think Wyatt Mazur is going to make enough plays to win that game for Boone.
Baba, you had an injury up at Norfolk that's going to affect the Norfolk Kearney High game, which is going to be important in the playoff race on Friday night. Talk about what happened to Norfolk's quarterback and how that'll change maybe to Friday night's game.
There is of course, I am the master of Twitter. Everybody should follow me at Huskerland Bob. But I did actually tweet out something. I felt just sick for this kid. Gunnar Fjellberth, ACL tear, non-contact injury. And the world is filled with irony, Duda. Like, for instance, you and I both have paying jobs. But the thing with Fjellberth is that's how he got his job. Last year, the quarterback got hurt. He stepped in, took over, played great, and was doing the same thing this year. Now, the flip side to that, and my heart goes out to Gunnar or any of these kids who get hurt and have these long-term rehabs, and to say nothing of the pain involved, the suffering that goes with any kind of injury. But Norfolk did replace him with another quarterback whose name, frankly, escapes me at the moment, who wound up throwing for three touchdowns. And Norfolk, the last I saw Norfolk, they were really sticking it to Millard West in a way that Millard West doesn't get bullied, and they got bullied that night. So it's still going to be a full night's work for Kearney. I do look for that to be a really good ball game, though.
Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, with us for just another couple minutes. We are live at Cunningham's Journal for our weekly Husker Lunch. Come on in. Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star. We'll be talking Husker football, answering all your questions, and we'd love to have you as folks start to filter in for this week's Husker Lunch. Slide on by, enjoy lunch, and enjoy some Husker conversation. Bob, with this being a different 16-team playoff look, these are going to be more important games here in Week 9 for the Class C teams than they've been in quite some time.
Yeah, that's true. You know, actually, Duda, I kind of forgot you and I had our little thing here, and I was in the middle of an interview with Jeff Beller from Norfolk Catholic, and we were talking about the 16-team format. And, it's a different deal. It is a different deal, and there's going to be a lot of disappointment on the part of some pretty good football teams, one of which is in the town that I'm in. Central City is 5-3. They're almost undoubtedly going to be 6-3. It's only going to be the second time that they've won six games in the last 25 years. And there's a chance they're not going to get in. Now, this is a program that qualified twice with two wins in 2011, 2012, or something like that. So there's other examples of that. They're out there. I still do like the model of having people play nine games and have 16 in the playoffs, but it does set up for some heartbreak. There is no doubt about it. I would like to point out, according to my math, which is sketchy, the only time we've ever had a team reach the state finals and be outside the top 16 was the year that Greeley reached the finals against Howells in something like 2001, something like that. So if you're playing for a championship, you probably got the people you need. If you're playing for, saying that you made the playoffs, there's some argument there.
Let's talk about some of the games that could impact. I know the Donovan Trumbull Southern Valley game is going to be a big one as far as our area goes, both having played some really good teams, being in a tough district. What else are you looking at to either Thursday or Friday?
Well, I'll tell you what, the Donovan Southern Valley game, it's real easy to lose track of Donovan Trumbull. But, they got beat by three top 10 teams. A lot of these kids played varying degrees from a little to quite a bit to a lot on last year's state champion team. I think I think that's definitely a game that they win. I think that they will beat Southern Valley, and I think Donovan's got a chance to be one of those teams that, you know, also wins a playoff game depending on the matchup they get. I don't know, as far as Thursday night goes, that's really a big deal, that Boone Central Norfolk Catholic game. There's going to be that's one of those regional deals. It's going to be bigger than just the local fans. Another game that is kind of in our area, it is in our area, is Fullerton and High Plains. High Plains Community is only, quote unquote, only 4-3, but one of their wins is over Blue Hill. The other, their losses are to top 10 teams. Fullerton is coming off a Super Bowl win. I mean, they beat Howells Dodge. Garrett Sondra up. I think they're still adding up the scores. I think he had 8. I don't know. There's a little suspense there. And Burwell Amherst. Amherst has not played a good schedule. I think everybody connected with Amherst football would admit that. Burwell's good football program. They've won a lot of games over the years. They've won an awful lot of games over the years, and they're going to be a tremendous test for Amherst. And then we're going to find out a little bit about Kennesaw and Elwood. A couple of teams that score an awful lot of points. Both got good losses, if you want to say it that way. And I think that also will be a real headliner.
Well, Bob, we can't wait for the playoffs next week, but it all has to be settled up. Saturday morning is always exciting when we see the playoff matchups.
You know, Saturday morning, it takes me back to when I was 7 or 8 or in college when I would watch cartoons on Saturday morning. It's the same sort of excitement, less the footed pajamas, you know.
Well, go ahead and put some of those on Saturday.
I promise, less the footed pajamas.
Bob, thank you so much. Get back to work. We'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll see you at a ball game.
Yeah, you know it, dude. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report. Check out the great stories, including the interview with Noah Johnson, online at Huskerland Prep Report, and they will get you all set up. Again, that is HuskerlandPreps.rivals.com. HuskerlandPreps.rivals.com. We are here at Cunningham's. Hope that you can join us for today's Husker Lunch. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, come in, order lunch, get registered for the Nebraska-Minnesota tickets when you do so. We'll also have a Cunningham's gift card for someone on site at the end of the program today. So we'll stop by for that and hear a little Northwestern recap, Rutgers preview, black shirts handed out. If you're looking for some lunch or just need that reminder, it is Husker Lunch Day here at Cunningham's, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
Lift the hearts of others and let people know you care this holiday season. Spread joy with the help from Copycat Printing. Send greetings with personalized holiday cards, calendars, or festive stationery. At Copycat Printing, it's easy. Simply go to our website, carneycopycat.com, and click on Shop to browse through lots of new choices, both business and personal. Or make an impression and have your holiday cards custom made by our talented designers. Make the season yours with Copycat Printing in Kearney. Like us on Facebook for additional savings.
It's 3rd down and 6, but that doesn't matter much anymore. With only 4 seconds left, the Lions are down by 5 points, and it's do or die at the 16-yard line. The game hinges on this play. Here comes the snap. Blitz coming from the field side, and he's going to run with it to the 15. Cutting inside to the 10. 5.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of football season. Sign up for Prairie iNet Internet today to receive a $100 Visa gift card. Now you can stream your favorite TV shows and movies. Plus, when you call now, Prairie iNet will install your system for free. That's a $99 value, a $100 Visa gift card, and free installation just for choosing Prairie iNet. But this offer is for a limited time only, so call Prairie iNet for details now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
The Nebraska Youth Academy for Democracy provides youth with the chance to learn about local politics and how they can use their voice to influence current issues within our communities.
Youth will meet with several state senators as well as attend breakout sessions to learn about topics ranging from gender equality to immigration. The free event to all Nebraska youth will be held Sunday, October 26th at Kearney High School. You can find the application at bcyab.org.
Come find your voice at the Nebraska Youth Academy for Democracy, sponsored by the Buffalo County Youth Advisory Board.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, live at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch. Steve Sipple will join us here in a few minutes. We'll chat on air and then talk with all the folks here at Cunningham's for our Husker Lunch today. Come on in and enjoy the lunch special, which, of course, is eight delicious wings. And you can get anything off the menu, whether it's the burgers, the pizza for the whole crew, a sandwich, a salad, a skewer. I mean, even try some of the starters slash appetizers, the Husker ribs, the Journal Bites. They're so good here at Cunningham's. Hey, if you're thinking about a new irrigation system, now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount, where you can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile long T&L pivot. Get decades of reliability with your T&L pivot system. You're looking to add on to your farm system, you're looking to make a replacement, or it's just time to talk to T&L, contact your local dealer, and you can also go online to find out all the information you could possibly need at TLIRR.com, but it's always great to talk to somebody in person, and your T&L dealer would love to chat with you. T&L, proven technology that works. Got some cool information today. The 2015 College Football Hall of Fame ballot has been released. We are pleased to have a chance to vote for that. There are so many cool names here, but it's not just Division I when you're talking it. And Rashan Salam from Colorado and Ricky Williams from Texas, I'm sure for Husker fans, names that make your toes curl a little bit, but they're eligible for the Hall of Fame this year. But there is the Division I, and then there is 1A, and then there is small college division. And again this year, former UNK Kearney State head coach and athletic director Al Zickman is one of the semifinalists. His teams won 11 conference titles. 9 of his players were named All-Americans, 67 All-Conference. Zickman is already a member of the NAIA Hall of Fame. So good luck. There are so many names on here, though, and they pick about 15 of those from all divisions to go into the Hall of Fame. But Al Zickman is one of those. Trev Alberts is on there. Eric Bieniemy, as we said. Brian Bosworth is on there, and he is on the ESPN campus today. And if you've caught any of his interviews today, very unique. He looks different than the Dish commercial ad, which must have been filmed quite a while ago. But they're doing a 30 for 30 on the Boz next week, and that looks like that'll be worth the watch as well. So he's on there. As I scan down, Eric Crouch is still on there. And you got to think that Crouch has a good chance to get in. That whole don't pick somebody from the same school 2 years in a row. But Nebraska didn't have anybody go in last year. So Eric Crouch, Heisman Trophy winner, probably be there. The Iowa State running back, Troy Davis. Randall Cunningham. DJ Dozier, running back from Penn State. Kirk Gibson from Michigan State. Football player before he was a baseball player. Willie Gault is one of these. Rocket Ismail from Notre Dame is on this list. There are so many outstanding. Ray Lewis, Miami of Florida, you've got to figure at some point he's going to go in. Ken Norton Jr. from UCLA. Warren Sapp is on the list. There's Simeon Rice from Illinois. Antoine Randall L. from Indiana. A lot of familiar names. Zach Thomas, who went to Texas Tech. Andre Tippett, defensive end from Iowa, among those that are there. Then as far as coaches, you see some of them. Danny Ford of Clemson is on there. Bill Snyder from Kansas State. Jim Carlin, who was at West Virginia, Texas Tech, and South Carolina. They will announce the Hall of Fame class the day before the national championship game, and then they're not inducted until the following December in New York City. So best of luck to Al Zickman and to all those with ties to the area. The MIAA preseason basketball polls out today in the women's side, Emporia State and Pittsburgh State each received 5 first-place votes, and they are 1-2, followed by Washburn, Fort Hays, and Central Missouri. UNK picked to finish 13th. The men's poll is still to come out today, and when that does, of course, we'll pass it along on this afternoon's sports. Also, the GPAC preseason basketball polls out. The Hastings men picked 7th, and the Hastings women tying for 2nd behind Concordia. in the GPAC preseason basketball polls and leading the way in those preseason polls. First off, on the women's side was Morningside, and then Midland on the men's side. A couple of other things, Nebraska junior defensive end Randy Gregory, one of 20 standout defenders, named as a quarterfinalist for the Lott Impact Trophy this afternoon. Eight semifinalists will be chosen November 11th, and the winner will be announced December the 14th. We'll take a break, talk with Steve Sipple as folks continue to filter in for our Husker Lunch here at Cunningham's from 12 to 1. We hope you can join us as well. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
Now's the time to get your vehicle into Tice Auto Care for a winter checkup. Winter driving can take a toll on your vehicle, and it's important to make sure it's ready to take on the cold weather. Tice Auto Care can check your brakes, hoses, and fluids so that you're ready for the tough winter driving. Stop by Tice Auto Care and visit with Mike and the crew about your winter vehicle checkup. They're ASE certified at 3rd and Denver in downtown Hastings.
Maintenance is cheaper than repair.
We all learned at a young age what it was like to be protected, even if our parents went to extremes. Farm Bureau agents learned those lessons well and put them into practice every day. So if your Farm Bureau agent reminds you of your parents in overprotective mode, that's okay. They're just going to extremes to make insurance simple.
In Kearney, visit Don Snyder at agentdonsnyder.com to see how he makes insurance simple.
Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
Rocky.com.
Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show live here at Cunningham. Still room for you to slide in as folks are enjoying their lunch hour here at Cunningham's Journal. And get anything you want off the menu. Great, great food here at Cunningham. Steve Sipple will be on hand. And we are in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, where Midway continues to grow and seek motivated and enthusiastic individuals. They're looking for product specialists, customer service reps, technicians, but really all across the board as they expand, Midway needs more folks to join their outstanding team. They need quality team players, and you don't even need experience because they will train you. And they've got a special website where you can see what jobs are available. You can even apply online, which is much more comfortable for some folks. Check out the benefits and more at MidwayCareers.com. MidwayCareers.com, and you can be part of the Midway Auto Dealership team. Well, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, has flown in from Evanston, Illinois, in a two-half performance against Northwestern. And, Sip, how you doing, man?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Doing good. Nebraska got what they needed on Saturday. Even though it was a little tight in the first half, Nebraska showed their superiority in the second half, and they got the win. And I kind of thought this was a bigger, more important game than Michigan State because that loss – that loss doesn't knock you out. You lose in your division, you get in some trouble. That's where I'm going with that. But your thoughts on how Nebraska performed?
Well, it was, like you said,
it was a big win. There's no question. It wasn't a gimme by any means. Northwestern's a tough team. Northwestern's a team that beaten Wisconsin, beaten Penn State. You go on the road and win. So it, I think they generated some confidence from it. And you got to keep winning to keep pace with Minnesota, for one thing. You know, Minnesota's 3-0. Honestly, I'm really not joking about that. You lose that game and you're 1-2 in the league and you're two games down in the loss column, so you're kind of fighting for your life from there. I think the pressure would have, in that regard, been significant. And then what happens here if you lose to Northwestern? The pressure on everybody gets significant. And it just gets that much tougher because the negativity kind of drags everybody down.
And Sip, we're finally in a spot in a football season where Nebraska isn't fighting for their lives. I mean, they are because they need to keep winning, but that's every football program.
Well, yeah, exactly. They have some momentum, right? There's some positive vibe, right? I don't think you can relax if you're in Nebraska, but at least you feel like you have something going and you're not always fighting an uphill battle. So as long as they bring the proper mindset to this game, don't have a letdown or a massive letdown, they should be okay.
Black shirts handed out yesterday.
Yeah.
In this day and age, it becomes a surprise. It's a moment of the deal type of surprise. They're just hanging in the lockers. 16 guys get them. Two interesting stories there. A, they get the black shirts. B, Josh Banderas makes his statement. He says, "I don't deserve this yet. Thank you. I'll wear it when I'm playing a little bit better," which is probably the first time that's ever happened. But your thoughts on the black shirts and the way the guys reacted yesterday?
Josh Banderas, yeah, that was surprising that he has one. He has one hanging in his locker.
You think it's because of his dad and he knows maybe more so than the kids from Texas and Florida?
No, I don't think so. I think Tom, I know, was livid when he just saw it on the news that Josh didn't have one and he didn't know the story. And Tom, his dad, you know, the tight end in the 80s, was livid that his son didn't have
one.
but then he found out what happened. And, you know, he's like everybody else. It's just kind of a testament to Josh's character. That's Josh, you know. So that's the way that worked. And I think that it makes some sense. I mean, I don't think Josh has played that bad. I mean, I'm kind of surprised by the stance he took, but I admire it.
Got Rutgers coming in, a team that we don't know a lot about because they're not new to the league. All we know is about what anybody else knows. We've seen them on TV. We read the accounts. We get on their website. They do seem to have a little bit of offense, though.
Yeah, Gary Nova has thrown 60. I mean, he's thrown 64 career touchdown passes. 64. Now, he's also thrown 47 picks.
Oops.
So, you know, and this year he's thrown for a lot of yards. He's thrown for 1,700 yards, and he's thrown for 13 touchdowns, but he's thrown 8 picks. He's turnover. What I'm telling you is he's – thank you. Thank you. He's he'll throw a pick or two, and he might in this game. But I'll tell you, they're a rugged offense. I know that. They're a blue-collar – offense that kind of fits where they come from, New Brunswick, New Jersey. Their production's pretty good. I mean, they've scored 28 points a game. So they're not great, but they're good enough to go into Lincoln and score 30. And that would be tough. I'm not saying they will, and I'm not saying that would be enough, but I think they're good enough to go into Lincoln and make things awfully interesting.
It is our Husker lunch here at Cunningham's. Steve Sipple will get a chat with the folks here. We hope you'll slide in and chat with Steve between now and 1. Got one last question, and then we'll turn him back over to the crowd here. Doug and Carney says, "Hey, I can't make the Husker lunch today, but I do have a question. Why was Sam Fultz not awarded a black shirt? He's become a very good defensive weapon for the Huskers. And I don't know, Sip, if special teams players have ever been awarded black shirts. You could answer that."
No, I can't remember a time. And maybe the emailer knows more than I do, probably, actually. I don't think they do. I can't remember them awarding the punters. So, I mean, Sam is worthy of recognition, but traditionally they don't do that.
Sip, we'll get things going here. Always great to chat with you, and we'll see you at the game Saturday.
Yeah, it's great listening to your show driving in, and I appreciate being here.
Thanks, Sip. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. That's going to wrap things up for the Doug and Daddy Show today. Don't forget tonight, Husker football fans, The Journey airs on the Big Ten Network. It has a feature on Amir Abdullah. You may think you know a lot about Amir. You'll find out more tonight. That airs at 6 o'clock Central, immediately followed by Nebraska volleyball at Minnesota at 6:30. So that's going on tonight on the Big Ten Network. Want to thank all the folks that joined us here today, the Chancellor at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Doug Christensen. Of course, we want to thank Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report and Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, being part of the program today. Tomorrow, we're at Bandits in Grand Island. Steve Anderson, talk a little Breeders' Cup. We'll also have Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and Dan Duggan is going to join us from NJ.com to fill us in on what they have at Rutgers. Luke Hoover will also answer your fantasy football questions from RotoWire.com. For our producer, engineer, Jeff, back at the studios, I'm Doug Duda saying thanks for listening. Game 2 of the World Series tonight, 6 pregame, 7:05 first pitch, Royals and Giants.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.